All right, well, I won't keep you long. We'll just, I want to address some things that are in my heart. You know, I got to give you what I believe God's given me so that we can know that we've heard from Him. Jesus' words are so revealing when He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So He is speaking all the time. Are we listening? Yeah, that's the question, really. If we're listening, He is speaking. And so it's a preceding word. I like that because there's life in that word, Jesus said. There's life in that preceding word. It's a word that's flowing forth from His mouth into our hearts, right?
Yeah.
And He may just prompt you as you're going through the day to do something. He'll speak to you, right?
Yeah,
keep
right.
listening, because that's life. No matter what it might be, call a friend, talk to a neighbor, speak to a stranger, you know? You just don't know. It might be just out of our comfort zone sometimes, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. So, I'm going to just give you what I got. You know, what do you do with strong emotions? You know, we're made in the image of God, so emotions and feelings aren't evil in and of themselves. We're going to feel anger. We're going to feel frustration. We're going to feel lust. We're going to feel fear. Those are all things that are made up in the human experience, right? It's true. Jesus felt all those things. The Bible says He was tempted in all points. Say all points.
All points.
Like as we are, yet without sin. So you know, He had all those emotions and all those feelings that a human does, that we all do. And sometimes they're so strong that they want to control you. And here's the thing I want to mention to you, that we need to learn to harness those feelings and control them by the Holy Spirit. One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You know, there's love, joy, peace, patience. That means long kindness. You know it. Gentleness and self-control, right?
Say that gentleness one more time.
Gentleness, yes. That's it. Long-suffering. So, He is those things. And so, it's so easy to want to give in. You know, if we don't, here's what I have to do with strong emotions. I was just at the store just the other day, you know, and I went out and sat on the bench because it was a nice day like this. I had a break. And I just started talking to God. God, what do I do with my feelings, you know, with my anger? What do I do with all this strong emotion? He says, you just own it. Make sure you don't blame anybody else for it. It's yours. And I said, all right. I'll take responsibility for my feelings. They're not anybody else's fault but mine. You know what I mean? So it's like, and then peace came. That strong emotion dissipated and I had peace again. Because I took time to go to God with it. Now there's a right way to express anger. The Bible says be angry. Because you're going to have feelings like that, strong emotions, and sin not, right? So there's a proper way to express those emotions. And, you know, I read once, you know, it's so simple. You know, judge people. If they hurt you, just tell them what they did and how it made you feel, and then just leave it at that. You can't go any more further than that. And let them... Sometimes most people don't even realize that they have hurt you, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay to tell people. That's not easy to do sometimes, to be vulnerable like that. Having emotions is not wrong. How they're expressed determines whether they're right or wrong. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. You know, I'm just going to read you what I wrote in my musings. The soul has dominated the man since the fall. Adam felt fear. What did he do? He went and hid from God. He ran from God. That's the wrong thing to do. Run to Him when you're afraid. He's the one that will help you, right? Go to Him. Run to Him, not from Him. Amen. So all this time, the fall causes us, it wants to control you. Your soul wants to dominate your spirit. And so we have to be aware of that. Strong emotions, what do we do with them? How do I express them properly? These are things I want to address today. The first thing we do is own them. Like I said, don't blame others. When God confronted Adam and Eve, Adam said, well, the woman you gave me, God. You know what I mean? And then Eve said, the devil made me do it, you know? They didn't take responsibility for what they had done, right? So there's blame shifting that can go on. And when you blame other people for where you're at, you will stay stuck where you're at until you own and become responsible for yourself.
Amen.
All right? This is important. And this is what it's about, to mature, to grow, to be not be children tossed to and fro with every wind, but learn to cope and manage our feelings responsibly. Amen. That's important. So, the statement that you made me mad is wrong. You know what I mean? We've heard that before. It's kind of a cop-out. Well, you made me mad. Well, maybe not. When we blame others, we stay stuck. If we choose not to forgive, we become a prisoner to our own feelings. When you choose not to forgive, you become stuck. You become the prisoner. Amen? That's important. And the Bible says you even be given over to tormentors. Because when you have unforgiveness, your mind won't rest. Your mind will bug you, you know? You'll be tormented by that emotion until you resolve it. And you know what forgiveness means? It's a great definition. It means to send away. I'm going to send that emotion away. It's not going to eat my lunch today.
Right.
I'm sending it away. I'm giving it up. It's so important. Forgiveness is just not being put into someone else's prison. So we can go to the person that's hurt us with our feelings and simply say, this is what you did. This is how it made me feel. But that's all we can do, and leave it at that. You can't add judgment to that. You can't determine their motive. You think you're God that knows the heart of another person? You don't know why they did what they did. And most of the time, they don't know what they did. Remember, Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. It's important. We think, well, they just, you know, when we add judgment to someone else's motives, we're going to stay in pain and suffering. Until we stop judging and playing God. That's God's realm. That's God's sphere. Only He can read hearts and knows motives. Not us. Amen. Okay. All right. We already said, harness your emotions, you know. Rein them in. Put them under the restraint of the Holy Spirit. They don't have to dictate how we live. I tell you what. This is kind of a graphic illustration. But I was just, you know, I had this emotion, this anger. And it's kind of like a pimple that's just painful. And the longer you leave it, the more pressure builds underneath it. And by golly, someone is going to bump it eventually. And even pop it. And all of this comes out of us. You know what I'm saying? And emotion is kind of like that pimple popper, you know. And there's all this stuff inside that has to come out. So, if you just express yourself and vent your feelings, and you're going to hurt everybody else around you if it isn't under the restraint of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the root of bitterness defiles many. So we need to go to God with our stuff.
Yeah.
And don't just express yourself without checking with God first, you know? You don't want to hurt people. That's bad. That's a bad thing to do. And so I had to get alone with God and just say, Lord, I'm this strong feeling, I don't know what to do with it. He said, just own it, Michael, and you'll be free. That's very important. So now you're not a victor or a victim. You're a victor, you know. You can get that. So we can misdirect our feelings. Listen to this one. Remember when Cain was told by God, sin crouches at your door and desires to have you. but you must master it. What was he about to do? He was going to, yes, kill his brother, someone said. He ended up murdering his brother. God had given him a warning not to give in to his feelings, not allow his feelings to control his actions. And there's a saying that I like, you know, watch your thoughts, for they will become feelings. You've heard this one before? Watch your feelings, for they will become words. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Watch your words, because they will become actions. See, it's progressive. Watch your actions, for they will become habits. Watch your habits, they will become your character. Watch your character, for it will ultimately become your destiny. So we have to know from the very beginnings of that thing to control our mind and redirect our thoughts to where we end up in our destiny the way where God wants us, not where Cain ended up. Right? It's so important. You must master those feelings. Master those emotions, God said. And the thing is, when I go to God with my feelings, I can walk in peace. Those feelings will dissipate. Those strong emotions will become weak and begin and just kind of go away. And peace comes inside. Now, I'm in a place I'm supposed to be. My emotions now are... Peace means well-being. I have well-being with God. And I have peace with my brother and my sister, my neighbor, right? Because now I'm walking in peace. God says, let peace of God rule in your hearts. Amen. If you are troubled, you get alone with God and don't even come out of your closet until you've dealt with that thing before the Lord. Or you will hurt yourself and you will hurt those around you that you love. And take out on someone else what isn't theirs to be, to receive. Sometimes you just catch the crossfire of the person that's closest to you. And when it's all the time, it's on your own stuff, right? So it's important that we don't hurt those around us. Am I talking to anybody?
Yeah.
Come on, this is just where I live. You know, like I said, don't invalidate your emotions. They're there. Don't ignore them. Don't suppress them. That's depression. Oftentimes, if we don't cope with these emotions, we turn them inward, and it becomes depression. That's not healthy either. You become, self-hatred starts to come in. Boy, that's very unhealthy. So we need to cope with these emotions correctly, don't we?
Amen.
It's important, or they will eat our lunch and pop the bag. So, don't sin by letting anger control you. Think about it overnight and remain silent. These are verses at Psalm 4:4. And we have Ephesians 4:26 that also says the same thing, and I quote from the Amplified Version. Be angry at sin, at immorality, at injustice, at ungodly behavior, yet do not sin. Do not let your anger cause you shame, nor allow it to last until the sun goes down. And do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. That's the devil's workshop. That's
right.
That's where his playground. Don't give him opportunity. Don't let him take advantage of your feelings. Amen?
Amen.
That's important. And finally, this is in Colossians. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members of one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. Yes. But I say walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. Don't you think it'd be better not to say something than to have, than to say something you wish you hadn't and ask for, have to ask forgiveness?
Amen.
Why don't you just not do it? Yeah, better, right? Let's just restrain your tongue. The Bible says if you can control your tongue, you can control the whole rest of your body. You know, no man can tame the tongue. We need God's power.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
So control our words. For the sinful nature has its desires, which is opposed to the spirit. And the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict. So that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the practice of the sinful nature are clearly evident. They are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other like things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of His presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting. Think about that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. So it is. Let's walk in peace and not in pieces. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. All right. Oh, thank you. And I want to address too, if there's anyone here that hasn't had a relationship, a living, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, today's your day to make that decision. You know, God will not force you to love Him, because that isn't love at all. Love is when you're compelled and you can't help yourself but want to give back to a God that has given everything for you. He loved you so much that He gave His very best, His Son, for you and I. What more could He do? How much more could He give than His Son for us? Amen. Amen. So I just encourage all of you here that if you've not made that decision, He loves you. He's wanting you back. He wants you in His fold, in His house, if you will. I'm going to just pray and we can move on with the time. Wow, thank you for your attentiveness. Really.
You want to bless the lunch as well?
Yep. We'll do that. Father loves you and wants you home with Him. When you're not with the Father, you're not really at home. You belong with Him, and He longs for you. He will love you your whole life long to prove and show Himself. Just like this today, this has all been about showing you His goodness, His love, His kindness, and His faithfulness. And He's wanting you to trust Him with all that you are, and to walk in His presence. So, Lord Jesus, would you repeat that after me? Those of you who want to pray, everyone, we can just pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come before you to receive you into my life. Walk with me. Talk with me. Let me know the joy of your salvation, your forgiveness of sin, and I thank you that you died and rose again, that I can walk with you in newness of life and love my neighbor as I love myself. And Father, I thank you for those who've prepared this meal and all the good things that are there. Thank you for each one that's serving. It's such a good thing to be family here today. And we give you praise in Jesus' holy name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think Mike was preaching right at me about those emotions and everything else, and I think all of us deal with that. And thank you for that word, and God's given us a way.